The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Shadate Hargett Hill from the North Carolina Reading Service. Today marks another day of excellent Oprah magazine. For the next hour, I'll be reading to you from April May's edition of O Magazine. Since this month marks the 20th anniversary of O Magazine, we will start with some stories about it's our anniversary, 20 years of you and me. Over the years, Miss Oprah Winfrey has had very beautiful covers of her magazines. And one of them that she's actually featuring in the May's edition is December 2013. She has a black top hat on. She has little crinkly curls. And she's wearing a red fitted dress that balloons out like rose material from her hip all the way down. She has a beautiful brooch on that's coming from half of from her shoulder all the way to her décolletage area. She has a beautiful big ring on her finger that has looks like it is red rubies, and she has a bracelet that matches the brooch. And for her quotation there, she has, "Never miss a chance to celebrate the moment." And these are some of her memorable ones that she liked the most. This is one where she's in a hammock, and it is an orange hammock, and she looks like she's on a deck on the beach. Beautiful blue skies, beautiful blue water in the background. Like I said, she's in an orange hammock. She has a book in her hand, of course. She's wearing a mustard color shirt with some rhinestone covering on the arms and the front part of it. She has gold dangly earrings, and of course, her hair is curly cascading down her shoulders. She is wearing some orange sandals, as well as some blue capri pants on that is matching the blue that's in the sky. And what she says, this is for the July 2010 issue that she picked. It says, "What brings you joy? That's what I wish for you in abundance." And her iconic September 2013 cover is very beautiful, and everybody talked a lot about this one. It is the one where she has a big, big afro on her head. She also has what they say is some kind of band around her head, too, that's holding it up. It is sequined with rubies. It has some tangerine colors in it, and she has these big dangly round earrings, and her dress is a wrap dress, and it's tangerine. Very beautiful. She has a ring that's covering about two fingers, and it has fuchsia color, tangerine colors. She also has three thick bracelets with rhinestones in it, different tangerine colors and lavender colors in it. And they said this one is iconic because they had to get help with her to get it placed on her head, and they had to physically walk her on the set because it was so heavy. And on this one, she says, "Every new day is an invitation to share your light with the world." Another September edition, 2005, she is in a black dress, and she is leaning against the wall with curls in her hair, subtle makeup around her on her face. She has her hand up to her chin, and she has a rhinestone, beautiful bracelet on her arm, and she's looking into the camera, and she's saying, "I know for sure the best way to care for others is to first care for yourself." And we'll begin reading with the Big O, May 2020. Let's party. You're invited to a gathering of old staffers, alumni, and close friends as they recount their moments, colorful memories, and fizziest stories for the magazine's past 20 decades. To celebrate the transformative power of a good book, Oprah is sharing some of the titles that have changed her most profoundly. Readers reminisce about their favorite discoveries in O, and to help you savor the moment, we're serving up sublime culinary pairings for featuring Oprah's beloved truffles and tequila. And of course, all we don't get to today, we'll bring it back up and continue with it next week. The story of us. We've heard it many times over the past 20 years. What is it like to be at O? Curious reader, wonder no further. Here's a behind-the-scenes look at the people, parties, fun, food, meetings, madness, misadventures, and thrills told by the people who were there as it happened. In the beginning, Gail King, the O editor at large. Oprah had been asked by a lot of publishers to do a magazine. She took the meeting with Hearst because of Ellen Levine, who we call Queen Levine. We were familiar with Ellen because she was editor-in-chief of Good Housekeeping and had been on TV quite a bit. Kathy Black, former president of Hearst Magazines, Ellen and I set up a meeting through Oprah's business manager. There was never a promise that Oprah herself would show up, but when the day came, she burst into the conference room like a 2,000-watt light bulb. Gail says she was blown away by their presentation. Kathy says, Ellen had the idea that we should make a video, so we sent a crew out to a shopping mall in New Jersey to ask women whether they wanted her show, whether they watched her show, and how they'd feel about a magazine. They went crazy. Oprah was riveted. She said, "Do you really think they like it?" We said, "Yes, Oprah, they really would." Then Ellen said, "You are a woman of letters. You love the written word. You love to connect with readers on your show." Gail says, "That's what got her." Kathy Black says, "Since Oprah was in Chicago doing the show, we wanted someone at the magazine who really got Oprah's vision, and we thought Gail would be great." Gail said, "Oprah told me that I'd never do it, but I was in the middle of contract negotiations at the TV station in Connecticut where I'd been for about 18 years. So I asked her, 'Well, what would it be exactly?' She said, 'I don't even know.' I told Hearst, 'Look, I have no experience in magazines. I'm a TV baby.' They said, 'But you know Oprah and you know a good story.' I think it was 3 years before I stopped calling readers viewers." Ellen Koontz, O's first editor-in-chief. Oprah and Gail said, "Tell us how you sum up your vision for the magazine." I said, "I see it as the personal growth guide for the new century." Oprah jumped up and said, "That's it." Gail said, "Every other magazine had done Thinner Thighs in 30 days. Oprah said, "I want women to feel good about themselves, and I want to meet them where they are." Oprah said, who is the O founder and editorial director, "I envision a manual that would allow readers to see themselves in the pages and will reflect their lives back to them in the most aspirational way." Kathy Black said, "We thought about calling it Aha or Spirit." Oprah said, "Or Glow with OW at the end." I don't know who finally said O, but it was the right call. The early years. Amy Gross, O editor-in-chief from 2000 to 2008. People would ask how it was to work with Oprah. I'd say, "I steer the ship, but she's our North Star." Lisa Coogan, O writer at large. Amy Gross made a list of words we were forbidden to use. She wanted O to sound the way real people talk, to no tresses, elegant, or thoroughly modern, anything. She didn't want to use cliches that made women seem less serious or interesting than they really were. Deborah Way, O deputy editor. Amy was a major Buddhist, which really informed our content so much. Mindfulness, so much letting go. Amy says, I had a little bell on a piece of plain wood, very Japanese, and I walked down the hall to our planning meetings ringing it. To me, it set a great mood, anticipatory, collaborative, getting excited about ideas together. Deborah Way, it's a chime, but we call it the gong, and it's still a big part of the life of at O. The editor-in-chief's assistant is the one who strikes it with the little mallet. When someone new takes over that role, there's a lot of pressure to get it right. Not too loud, not too soft. You can just bang a gong. Covers. Adam Glassman, who's the old creative director, in the beginning, the covers were like a more typical women's magazine. Just pictures of Oprah looking warm and approachable. Then we thought we should go on a location and have Oprah doing things. Oprah says the hardest shoot was the one where I was riding a horse and trying to get him to hit a specific mark for the camera. The horse kept going too far, and they'd say, go back and try again. Holy God. And then after we finished it, people assumed it had been photoshopped. People, I was on that horse. Adam Glassman said, after 9/11, we did an issue about celebrating New York with Oprah on a double-decker bus on Fifth Avenue. Services were letting out at St. Patrick's Cathedral, and people looked up and lost their minds. They just spoken to God inside, and then they walk out and saw Oprah. Stephen Brown, set stylist and creator of Glitterville Studios, we did a December cover with a big teddy bear, and Reuven Affenorder, the photographer, wanted her to sit on it, but it wasn't stable, so I had to sit underneath it with one leg propped behind me like a tripod, and then Oprah came and sat on the bear, which was on top of me. I thought, oh Lord, what if I dump Oprah on the floor? Lucy Kalin, O editor-in-chief. In 2013, we thought, wouldn't it be amazing if Oprah could do a major hair moment? Hair is such a big deal. It's personal, sexual, social, racial, political. Adam Glassman and hairstylist Kim Kimball, who worked with Beyonce, came up with this incredible wig they called Wild Thang. Oprah had to be helped onto the set because she was balancing 3.5 pounds of hair on her head. Joseph Zabrano, O social media editor. Sometimes we shoot 4 covers in a day, so the playlist is key to keeping up Oprah's energy. A couple of years ago, we were at a shoot where she just wasn't feeling it, and I queued up Despacito. Her mood shot up. She was dancing and shaking. I think of the playlist as soundtracks. If she's channeling Donna Ross, that's what we play. For September 2018, when she wore the yellow hat and glasses and scarf, she reminded me of a Latino woman on vacation, like my mom. So I played Havana by Camila Cabello. There it is. Mere memory stories. Gail says, in 2002, Oprah had the first interview with the Central Park jogger. It was a different experience for her interviewing from print versus TV. There's an intimacy when you just sitting there with your recorder. Amy said, and we did crazy things like a disaster preparedness guide about how to handle scary, if rare, situations like falling into quicksand. Christina Weber, O executive visual director. For a fashion story, we went out on the street in New York with different animals. There was a little pig named Peaches, and we put her in a baby-sized pink Converse high tops. A cop pulled aside, and I thought, uh-oh, is there some permit I don't have? But he said, could I get a picture with the pig? Lisa Kogan, when I interviewed Oprah and Gail together, I thought, what don't they know about each other? But Oprah had a few things. She talked about standing at Gail's wedding as her maid of honor while Gail was saying her vows, not convinced the marriage was going to work. Gail was shocked. She'd never heard that before. Susan Casey, O editor-in-chief from 2019 to 2013. For the November 2012 issue, Oprah interviewed the Obamas and the Romneys. Her conversation with the Obamas was spellbinding. I still have the recording on my phone. Then we went to the Romney summer home in New Hampshire. We stopped at a little motel so Oprah could get dressed and have her hair and makeup done. Some locals drove up to find Oprah Winfrey standing outside in her curlers. Lucy Kalen, I think our package about caring for your aging parents is one of the best things we've done. It could have been unbelievably depressing, but the editors came up with lyrical, smart, funny, serious, silly, amazing, enlightening stories. We won an ASME for it, the magazine equivalent of an Oscar. Lee Haber, O Books editor. Michelle Obama's Becoming embody everything you want in Oprah's book, Club Pick Reflection, Reflection, Introspection, Inspiration. Oprah filmed a conversation with Mrs. Obama in the Hearst building, and that became the big launch event for the book. Amy Mackling, O Executive Director. I think a lot of people were still feeling that the world had been turned upside down since the 2016 election. And Oprah asked Mrs. Obama, are you optimistic about our country? She nodded at these young girls in the front row and said, we have to be. Her voice broke a little and I cried. Holly Carter, Old Style Features Director. I was wearing the dress I wore to my mother's memorial because I wanted her to be there in some way. After the interview, as Mrs. Obama was walking by, she told me, I have that dress. I wore it in Qatar with Barack. It was like my mom was there making sure I got my moment. Favorite things. Adam says, favorite things has always been one of the most popular features in the magazine. Oprah's love of giving gifts is so infectious. And there's that Saturday Night Live parody with people's heads popping off. Ray Ann Herman, O Contributing Style Editor. We look for favorite things all year round, but it really starts ramping up in March. We wind up with at least a list of 800 to 1,000 items, which we whittle down until we're about 300. Then we have a big run through with Oprah. Oprah says, I don't eat anything else that day, and I drink a lot of water. When you try a shot of tequila or drink some champagne and have a biscuit and a piece of cake, 6 hours later, your sugar levels are not good. I pace myself like I'm doing a marathon. Actually, doing a marathon is easier. Ariana Davis, O Digital Director. Every year we have a sweepstakes where we give away all the favorite things to 12 winners. When I was an assistant here, part of my job was calling the people who won, and some of them screamed so loudly I had to hold the phone away from my ear, or they'd think it was a prank call and hang up. Zoe Donaldson, O Associate Editor. The staff actually wraps the gifts for the winners. Every single gift. We're talking hundreds. Which is a Christmas miracle. Deborah Way says, some of us are really good rappers. Some are pretty remedial. And then there's Amy Macklin, who's not allowed to rap anymore. Amy says, even when we have 840 boxes, it's like, thanks, but no thanks. That's how bad I am. Glorious Gail. Adam says, Gail is the least jaded person I know. Amy says, people get so excited when they see Gail in the cafeteria. It's like stars. They're just like us. Gail says, I'm always amazed that people want to watch me be bopping down to pick up my cauliflower wrap. Oh, my God, that cauliflower wrap. Zoe says, Gail's office with its giant TV is where we gather when something big happens, whether it's Aretha Franklin's funeral or the Brett Kavanaugh hearings. She always wants to know our opinions. Deborah says, Gail is truly interested in people and their stories. She'd have a conversation with every human being on earth if she could. J.J. Miller, Gail's former assistant. I wish I could lead as gracefully as Gail. Sometimes when I proposed ideas, I'd get her trademark email that led with, not sure about this. Eventually, I realized that was her nice way of saying, this idea is BS, but I appreciate what you're trying to do. Lucy says, Gail knows instantly whether something works for this magazine, and it's never as simple as Oprah doesn't like that color. It's always something more nuanced about what's right and good for us and for Oprah. Deborah says, once after a challenging situation, when Gail's wisdom pulled us through, we said we should have a Gail King Appreciation Day. I thought it would be fun if we all came to work wearing clogs, Gail's signature office footwear, and yellow, her favorite color. But it turned out her 60th birthday was coming up, so Gail King Appreciation Day turned into a surprise party. Ariana Davis says, we had her favorite grilled cheeses and cupcakes. We all wore yellow, and we ordered clogs for everyone. Joseph said, Oprah had a cover shoot that day, so we set up the party in another photo studio down the hall. Then we told Gail that Jennifer Aniston was there and wanted to say hi. When Gail walked in, she was so surprised she jumped up. She saw Kirby, her daughter, and thought, why is Kirby here with Jennifer Aniston? Deborah says her son Will, who was living in California at the time, jumped out from under a table. She was really surprised by that. And they have some pictures of her and everybody with their clogs on. It's a picture of Gail with Oprah and Kirby and Will. They all have different clogs on. Gail signature clogs, and they also are dressed in yellow. All of them have yellow shirts on and then blue pants on, and they're all around Gail smiling and laughing. And it's another picture of Gail who happens to be not in her favorite color for her birthday. She's in red and everybody else is in yellow and blue, but she's looking like, oh my God, you got me. I'm so surprised. So that's a good one. What we did for love. Amy said, we had a lot of adventures at this magazine, all in the name of journalism, of course. Zoe said, I tried vaginal steaming and watched feminist porn about a couple putting together IKEA furniture and had a bird poop facial. Holly says, I modeled bubble booty jeans for a denim story, but I didn't make the final version. My butt got cut. Lisa says, I joined Oprah in her stretching workout, which required me to put on a leotard and have my limbs pulled Spanish Inquisition style. I have shopped for sex toys. I have spent the entire day in a closet with Adam and Gail twice. Molly Sims, senior editor, said, I learned blacksmithing at a North Carolina folks art school. I did ecstatic dancing to hours of people undulating on the floor. I went to a marijuana tea party. Amy says, I went to a spa where you subsist on a liquid clay concoction and have daily colonics. I was like getting baptized from the inside. I went to the School of Life in London to learn how to fight existential despair and face death. Naomi Barr, old research director, said, once, not long after my mother had died, I was checking facts with a woman we were featuring in the magazine. We ended up talking about loss, and I teared up and told her my makeup was running. Later, she mailed me a tube of mascara, and on the packet, she just circled the word waterproof and added an exclamation point and a smiley face. I still have it. Ahoy, Ashley O'Brien Riley, O Executive Director, Marketing and Promotion. We started our O Cruises with Holland America line in 2017. Oprah's year of adventure. The first went to Alaska, where Oprah had never been. Joseph said, Oprah got so excited about the bald eagles, she was filming everything on her phone. The captain saw her focusing on this one bird and had to tell her, that's a pigeon. Stephen, the photo crew took a helicopter out to a glacier to prep for our cover shoot, and thick fog descended. So for the next 2 days, we were stuck in the dog mushers camp. We had two movies to watch, The Revenant, not ideal when you're stranded on the frozen tundra, and Sausage Party, Adam Glassman joke. This might be the last movie we ever see. Lucy said, the cruises are off the hook. More than 2,000 of Oprah faithfuls on this floating disco meditation room food orgy. Jane Jameson, Oh, senior vice president and publisher, seeing all those like-minded women at the pajama party on the girls' getaway cruise where Oprah was handing out tequila shots, that will forever be one of my career highlights. Holly, there's so much joy, but also a lot of people having been through life-altering things, and they've come to see Oprah and heal. There's something really moving about that. Deborah says, this magazine means a lot to our readers, and they mean a lot to us. We call them our ladies. Oprah said, the readers are an extension of myself. Everybody who gets this magazine is a woman who is constantly reaching for a higher ground of her own life. I always had that woman in my heart because she is my heart. And they have pictures of her on this cruise to Alaska. Ship shape. The gang is on a deck of Holland America Lines. And the captain is there, Adam Glassman. He's bunked up at a dog moosher sleeping when they took this 2 days when they were stuck up here. They also have a camp. Daring helicopter rescue for the photo crew was came to get them. And also you have a picture of Oprah wearing a captain's hat. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about some of the other pictures here. It is a picture called Winner's Circle. Team O receives a 2015 National Magazine Award for Ready or Not, the feature about caring for aging parents. And the crew is sitting there with their award. And another picture here is what a find. They got a lot of loot in the O offices, and whenever anyone receives something they can't use, it goes to the free table in hopes of finding a happy home. And some of the things that were able to, they were able to have found a happy home. One of the O copy chief, Adrian Gerard, says she picked up gator nuts for her husband, who's a University of Florida alum and always loves costume jewelry. So she got the gator nuts and costume jewelry. Naomi Barr, the O research director, said, my sister calls me gnomes, and so she picked up a red gnome. Molly Sims, the O senior editor, she says, I use this toilet mug to store my thumbtacks. I don't drink from it. That would be gross. And then there's a picture of some clogs that they got during Gail's 60th birthday. Happy feet. Gail's favorite kids, Will and Kirby, party hardy with their mom and her BFF at Gail's 60th birthday extravaganza. And they show pictures of Swiss clogs. Also, another picture that they're showing here is of other people that have visited the area. They have pictures of them trying different things. They say they'll try anything. The annual favorite things, Testapalooza, riding, sniffing, testing, and collapsing. So these are different pictures of Oprah testing out some of the things to see if they like them. They have one of the staffers on a bike trying to ride it. They have a picture of Oprah smelling some scents and her laying on some comfortable sheets. It's another picture here of them getting food set together for her. One of the favorite things they like to do, eat and be dairy. O runs on cheese, whether it's found in the gooey grilled delights from nearby restaurant melt shop or accompanied by free-flowing Chardonnay at a 5 o'clock O bar. So they have pictures of different cheeses there, cheesy foods, everything with cheese that they love. Gail's favorite cheese sandwiches coming from one of the restaurants they have here, and tater tots too. Another picture they have here is of the staff, Brush with Greatness, Queer Eyes, Tan France, and Karamo Brown dropped by the office for a joyous mayhem ensued. So they took pictures and they're collaborating on their day there. It's a picture here of Oprah kicking back with Adam Glassman on mattresses, searching for more favorite things. There's a picture of the famous mallet that they sound off for all their favorite things when they go and have their collaborative meeting. So they have the ceremonial mallet there and the chimes, the sound strategy. No old meeting can begin without the ringing of the ceremonial chime to call everyone to order. There also is a picture of Oprah, cover girl, Oprah holding the very first issue of O. And of course, the very first issue was in blue and white. She's wearing a white top and some blue pants, and everything is in blue. And of course, it's got Live Your Best Life. Also, they have Simply the Best. Oprah and Tina Turner take the stage at O launch party. So they're out there jamming. And as we all know, Tina Turner is one of Oprah's heroes. There, speaking of heroes, another hero, Power Powwow. Lucy Kalin, Gail, and Oprah chat with Michelle Obama after an event to celebrate the publication of the 2018 memoir Becoming. They're all sitting there talking and chumming it up. Oprah is wearing a blue dress with some beautiful flowers on her arm pieces. Mrs. Obama is looking flawless in a white suit. Gail and Lucy are standing there. Gail is wearing a fuchsia dress, and Lucy is wearing a black dress, and they're powwowing. There's also a picture here. Feathered Friend in Central Park for a cover shoot. Creative director Adam Glassman and producer Dak Gonzalez break for a little bird watching. They are in a carriage with Big Bird himself. There's another picture here with a dynamic duo, Oprah and Gail, at O's first anniversary party. They're both smiling. Oprah is wearing a lime green dress, and her girl, BFF, is wearing a pink dress. Another picture here, taking the plunge. Oprah and the crew pause to refresh at a Puerto Rico cover shoot. They are in the waterfall, and they've dipped themselves in the water. All of them are wet. Also here, small wonder. No one is sure where this 9-inch tall Oprah bobblehead came from. It's complete with the Sophie. It came. She now has a pride of place in editor-in-chief Lucy Kalin's office. It's supposed to be a bobblehead of Oprah. She's wearing a purple outfit, and she's holding one of her dogs, Sophie, and she's smiling and waving. Shine On. A detail from a special editor of our 15th anniversary cover created with more than 1,500 Swarovski crystal pieces. It's a picture of Oprah with the Swarovski crystals. Actually, it's only one side of her face that they have a picture of. And Sweet Success, Cake Boss Buddy Velastro with one of his creations celebrating O's 10th anniversary. The mags were edible. It was a stack of magazines, and then at the bottom of the stack of magazines, it is issues of O magazine, and they say it was edible. So very creative and very appealing. And some guests that have come along the way, guests of honors, just a few of their favorite visitors to the O office. Royal Treatment, pre-Harry, Meghan Markle paid a call in 2015 to fashion market accessories director Robin Beck Nazaro and senior accessories market editor Paula Lee. And it's a picture with them that she is standing there with them. Oprah 2020 Whisker Campaign, top feline influencer Nala Katz, color-coordinated bow tie sent a powerful message of Oprah running for 2020. A living legend, Congressman and civil rights icon John Lewis came to share part 3 of his graphic novel memoir, March. There is also a brilliant friend in 2016, Yara Shahidi, stopped in to discuss balancing AP courses with 10-plus honor work days. And she's holding a Oprah magazine, Making Room for the New You. Also here is Good Girl, the latest Lassie pose for her hero shoot. She is covered in Post-its of different colors, rainbow colors in O shape, and she is right in the middle of it. Lassie is right in the middle of the O. And Cool Dude. My dad is a voiceover artist, and in the late 90s, he was the voice of the Kool-Aid Man, and this is from senior editor Molly Sims. So when this guy came by, everyone was joking that we had to take a father-daughter pic. And of course, it's a picture of the Kool-Aid Man with Molly. So that's some great pictures and some great things that's gone over the years at O office. Next up, we go to The Books That Changed Me. Oprah reflects on how reading has shaped the chapters of her life. When I want to seek higher ground, I open a book. Over the course of my lifetime, books have helped me know that I am not alone, even when I'm at my loneliest. They've given me the words to articulate what I held in my heart but could not express. They have loosened the constraints of tradition, of narrow-mindedness, enabling me to grow as a person, an entrepreneur, and a teacher, the role I cherish most. This magazine's founding mission was to help people live their best lives. Without a doubt, books are essential to mine. When I launched O, I dreamed it would reinvent the woman's magazine and become a manual for living, helping readers cultivate their optimal selves from the inside out. Because authors are my rock stars, I wanted their work to fire our imagination, give us the tools to be stronger and better in the world, and invite us to see through the eyes of another. Every page of every new book can open us up to a new universe. I wanted us to have that experience together. In O's reading room section and throughout the magazine, my intention was that we would be a source for discovering fresh voices. Yes, I wanted to share the words and wisdom of writers I had come to know and love, but my greatest excitement is finding new authors and introducing them to others. I wanted to replicate for our readers the thrill and the awe I felt in those moments when writers who would become my spiritual guides first came into my life. I still remember the shock of recognition I felt when I first read Maya Angelou's I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, a sensation that remains indelible even now. Though I'd read many other books until then, I'd never seen myself on the page. No protagonist, no narrator had ever looked like me or talked like me. I saw Maya's author photograph and realized that the two of us even resembled each other, as if we were of the same tribe. And in so many ways, we were. Her story was my story. She was sent to live with her grandmother in Arkansas, just as I was sent to mine in Mississippi. She, too, grew up in the church. She, too, was raped by someone close to her. All the relatives she wrote about in her autobiography were as familiar to me as my own. The book, like the relationship I developed with Maya, who became my mentor, the person I could always turn to for clarity, is central to who I am today. Similarly, in 1982, when I read Alice Walker's just published The Color Purple, I was stunned and mesmerized by the truth I found in it. From page one, where a pregnant Celie writes, "Dear God, I am 14 years old. I am," it scratched out, "I have always been a good girl. Maybe you can give me a sign, letting me know what is happening to me." That first line brought me back to an awful time when at age 14, after being molested, I was waiting to be admitted to a detention home that turned out to have no room. I, too, was pregnant. How did I get here? I kept asking myself. I'd always been a good girl, trying to please everyone and doing what people wanted me to do. I wasn't a bad girl, but if I wasn't a bad girl, why was I here? Like Celie, I was in despair. Thinking back on that now still makes me cry. Until I read The Color Purple, I believed I was alone in my shame, that no one else had gone through what I had. But there was Celie saying what I'd said in my head. Reading that book was life-altering, liberating, self-affirming. It was everything. I became obsessed with the book. I bought copy after copy to give out. After I moved to Chicago to host AM Chicago, which later became the Oprah Winfrey Show, I bonded with my intern, Alice McGee, over our mutual love of The Color Purple. For Christmas in 1985, Alice gave me a leather-encased edition inscribed with this line from the book. She bound to live her life and be herself no matter what. That passage was a touchstone for me. And by the way, Alice McGee and I began to regularly exchange and talk about other books we were reading. Eventually, she rose through the ranks to become a senior producer. And one day she suggested that maybe our audience would be interested in the kinds of conversations we were having about books. Pretty smart idea, I thought.
At first, we said that you can't talk about fiction on television because no one will have read the book because you're talking about it. But we figured out that if we announced the book and then gave people time to read it, enough of our audience would be engaged that we could forge a big conversation around it. And that is how the 1996 Oprah's Book Club came to be. The Color Purple forever changed the way I read books. I started looking for themes that resonated deeply within me and thinking of ways to connect with others through authors' words. But that book had an impact well beyond what was on the page. When I heard someone was making a film of Walker's novel, I knew I had to be a part of it somehow, even if it meant carrying water to the actors or set on fanning them. I didn't care. Being cast in the film, being on that magical set every day, was, along with doing the Oprah show, the seminal experience of my life. Before that, I had no idea how the movie business worked, but because of what I learned from Steven Spielberg, Quincy Jones, Alice Walker, and their truly symbiotic collaboration going forward, when I found a book that struck a chord within me, such as Toni Morrison's Beloved or Gloria Naylor's The Women of Brewster Place, I immediately began imagining how I could help bring it to the screen. More recently, when I read Ta-Nehisi Coates' The Water Dancer, it felt filmic. Its themes came to life in my head, and I could even picture who would play the various characters, just as I felt when I read Beloved. Being on the set of The Color Purple transformed me. There was a huge tree with a treehouse, and I used to climb the ladder and sit and watch the filmmakers, whether I needed to be on set that day or not. Observing them, I understood what it meant to be in alignment with your life. I had a kind of spiritual awakening being in the midst of that synergy. I wanted that high vibration of joy to be a part of how I lived my life from then on. Afterward, I did my shows differently. I began looking at my job as an offering. What is the gift you bring? I asked myself. What can you offer others? If I think of the single most important thing that ever happened in my career, other than moving to Chicago, it is The Color Purple. The other thing that happened during the filming of The Color Purple is that someone gave me a copy of Shirley MacLaine's Out on a Limb. I was already evolving, but MacLaine's book introduced me to new ways of looking at things, to the metaphysical. It's about acknowledging that there's more to the world than what the eye can see, that there's a sixth sense and multiple dimensions to life. It was the first spiritual awakening book I encountered, and because I was so joyful and receptive at the time, I let it in. After that, I sought out books that would further expand my horizons. I bought You Can Have It All by Arnold M. Patton, who suggests that the whole of life is energy and offers universal principles of love and abundance. I next read Thich Nhat Hanh's The Miracle of Mindfulness and became acquainted for the first time with the practice of meditation. Those works pierced the veil and led me to Gary Zukav's The Seed of the Soul, a game changer for me. Perhaps the most important, Zukav introduced me to the principle of intention, which is the force behind the law of karma. That is that every action has an equal and opposite reaction. What you send out into the world is what comes back to you. This concept changed everything about how I live my life. I had Zukav on my show many, many times because no matter how often I interviewed him, I always learned something new, beginning with the idea that the soul is the mothership. All emanates from it. After that book, I focused less on filling the program with celebrities and more on what the audience could learn from such masters, teachers as Zukav, Eckhart Tolle, and Marianne Williamson. And when Discovery president and CEO David Zaslav, whose wife was an avid reader of O, came to me with the idea to launch the Oprah Winfrey Network, I realize that my highest goal and my ultimate happiness is knowing that I'm using my personality, my platform, to serve the energy of my soul and encouraging others to serve their own soul, own especially via Super Soul Sunday. My journey of discovery through reading is a lifelong quest. When I wanted to deepen my understanding of mass incarceration and social justice, I was guided by Bryan Stevenson's masterful Just Mercy, which chronicles his work on behalf of the wrongly convicted and underrepresented. It was in Stevenson's office in Alabama that I came upon Anthony Ray Hinton's The Sun Does Shine, which I named an Oprah Books Club selection. Whether reading slave narratives or contemporary thinkers like Malcolm Gladwell or fiction writers who floor me with great first line, reading is crucial to my unfolding, flowering, and evolution. That said, sometimes I just want to read a book because I like the cover. I can't tell you how many times I've been drawn to a book because it's got a nice image of a house and a road and a tree. Oh, what is that? I think when I'm sent a stack of books, I'll almost always gravitate to the one with the cover or title I like best, as I did with Ruby by Cynthia Bond and The 12 Tribes of Hattie by Ayanna Mathis. In both cases, the words themselves were even more beautiful than the package they came in. In the late 90s, I was in Amarillo, Texas, in the midst of a trial and feeling desolate, as if the world had lost its luster. Holed up in a bedroom and breakfast, I opened Janet Fitch novels, White Oleander, and came upon these words: I missed beauty. Such a bare-bone line, but it got me thinking about the beauty in my life. And that's what it all comes down to. With three simple words, a great writer can shift the way you view everything. Next up, Oprah says, where are you going? Oprah Winfrey, cover girl. Looking at the face of a woman who has appeared on the cover of this magazine every month for 20 years, that's 239 issues, but who's counting? This particular shoot was taken July 22nd, 2014, and as I was being glammed up, only Kardashians walk around camera ready for the October cover. It's a picture that's showing her looking into the camera, and she's looking like, oh, here we go again. She's getting her makeup done, and she's like, I don't know. She says, I've been photographed on a boat, a bike, and a dog sled. I've stood under waterfalls. I've overlooked canyons. I've danced on rooftops and perched on a giant pile of presents. My hair has been braided, teased, afroed, ponytailed, curled, and highlighted blonde. And for the record, when I say my hair, that includes a number of wigs. Hair can take only so much pulling, poking, and prodding before it decides to make a run for it. I've worn everything from ball gowns to bell bottoms, a bathing suit to a bathrobe. I posed with 4-tier cake, a roast turkey, barbells, bouquets, bubbles, 10 dieters, 4-10 soldiers, my favorite first lady, my best friend forever, and more than 2 dozen dogs. No, not all at once, not all at the same time. We shot covers in Arizona, New Mexico, Puerto Rico, South Carolina, Alaska, New York City, Hawaii, Colorado, the Bahamas, and a few other delightful places that I can't for the life of me remember. And it's all been much more thrilling than my expression here would suggest. And again, her expression is like, here we go, please, can we do this? I've taken some heat for appearing on every cover, and I get it. There's much to be said for not seeing your own face each time you pass a newsstand. But I've been met with extreme resistance. To put it mildly, whenever I suggest anyone or anything else take over, so at least for the time being, it's still me, backed by a team of extraordinary professionals. Wherever we're headed next, I'm ready. And now we're going to take a look at some of her favorite Instagram people's postings. And it's saying, living their best lives. Over the past 20 years, we've made it our mission to deliver stories, wisdom, and goodies that delight. Which one struck a chord? We took an Instagram to ask readers for the moments that O had inspired them to say, aha. This one is from ADXOXOXO. O reminded me of my beauty. When I was out of the workforce raising kids for several years, things got pretty frumpy. But self-care changes mindset, and mindset changes everything. At Lady Friend CP, the tomato braised chicken tacos from February 2012 are known in our house as Oprah's Chicken Tacos. At Corporate Gypsy 2019, my favorite find, the English muffins from the Model Bakery. At Christina Gray 78, O encouraged me to know myself and help others. It was heavily influential to bring me to a place where, in the midst of divorce and becoming a single parent, I decided to retrain as a psychotherapist. I now have a thriving practice. At MHR MayD, O introduced me to yoga, which helped me overcome the panic attacks I'd been battling for over a decade. Can never thank you enough. At Samantha underscore Fitz, Oprah's health scare, which she talked about in the November 2018 issue, offered knowledge to live by. I was struck by her powerful quote, wherever you are in your life's journey, whatever the status of your career, your relationships, your finances, whether you're successful or struggling, happy or not, I know for sure that you need look no further than your own body to offer a prayer of thanksgiving. At Swimmer Hoffy, I'm a teacher, and the Columbine massacres changed everything about my job. The essay, I Will Never Know Why, by Susan Klebold, the mother of one of the shooters in the November 2009 issue, shook me to my core as an educator and mother. It made me stop and ask myself whether I really could spot any signs she'd missed, and the answer profoundly changed how I viewed my students, their parents, and myself. I think about that essay weekly and have realized that parents often feel lost, just like kids do. I was initially furious at Oprah for giving Klebold a space and a voice. Now I think her essay should be required reading for every parent and teacher. At Rachel M. Pryor, my favorite find, the African chicken in peanut sauce, OMFG. At Jazzy Jennifer G., O's cover has inspired me to experiment with my style. I've even copied a couple of looks. At S. Zero C. Star Students, for some time, I thought the phrase live your best life didn't really apply to me. At 46, I became disabled and had to leave my beloved career in education and move in with my elderly parents. And I have struggled for the past 3 years with ongoing medical treatments and procedures. I used to look at Instagram and feel that only healthy people could live their dreams. But the more I read O, the more I've come to realize that living my best life isn't about how many cruises I take or how successful I am according to social media. Instead, it means doing the best I can each day, finding a way to go on in spite of the obstacles in my path. And having grace and gratitude, I wasn't able to become a mother, which used to make me feel purposeless. But through Oprah's example, I find ways to nurture as an aunt, as a sister, a dog mom, a daughter, a volunteer, and a human being. At Pulitzer 2016, it has increased my to-be-read pile tenfold, and that's not a complaint. At Kate underscore Donovan, an article by Martha Beck from October 2009 has stuck with me. I even bought a digital back issue so I could have it forever. Martha was sharing something she called the designated issue theory, that often we identify as our problem isn't actually our only problem. She suggests a 5-step process to dig deeper and find out what's really going on. I used her theory with coaching clients and acupuncture patients so many times. At Hells Bells and Mass Sales. O introduced my friend and me to the term Schlumpadinka. That's that's Schlumpadinka, Schlumpadinka. We embraced that hilarious word immediately. This year we went on our first official Schlumpadinka retreat. It was filled with nature, creativity, laziness, and old cozy clothes. At Matt 8892, my favorite find, the boa scarf. Still classic, still fun, still fabulous, day into night. At Julia Fall CDC, I read the April 2019, what I know for sure, at the airport in Austin when my husband and I were considering moving there, reading Oprah's words about walking her land and grass so crystal green. It feels like God just made it fresh today. Really changed the way I looked at things and inspired us to move to beautiful Austin. At Monica Jackson 19, O taught me to take chances and step into my career path as if I were already the boss. And guess what? Now I am. At Mixed Chicks and Misfits, the May 2012 article, The Enlightenment of Age, changed my life. Oprah wrote a letter to her younger self saying, "Dear beautiful brown-skinned girl, I was so many similarities. I saw so many similarities with my story, and that recognition guided me toward accepting my internal scars and loving myself first. Wisdom is a gift that comes from aging, like they say. If you know better, you do better, and I have." At Mrs. Howard 28, the magazine inspired me to be bold and receive all that was intended for me. Over these 20 years, I've gotten a few fabulous jobs, and before each interview, I'd prepare with words of encouragement I got from O. Nailed it every time. And we'll have more on the Instagram that changed people next week. And next week we'll give you more from the Instagram followers. Like I said, we'll also have more on the drinks that are some of Oprah's favorites, different foods that some of her favorites. And we'll talk a little bit more about the 20th anniversary, and we'll get into some more surprising things about Joy and products and all those great and wonderful things. And of course, we'll go into what I know for sure, but it's going to be the 20 things I don't know for sure. And she talks about that for the last 20 decades, what she knows, and she's going to tell us what she doesn't know next week. But you'll have to wait until next week, because unfortunately, our time is over. Thank you so much for joining us. The contents of this program is intended for the blind and print impaired. My name is Shadate Hargett Hill, and I'm reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Again, the content of this program is intended for those who are print and blind and print impaired. Any information you'd like to know about the North Carolina Reading Service, you can go to the website ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org, or you can give us a call at 919- 832-9138. Have a great day. See you next time on the radio.